We take it now from the West Coast to the East Coast and bring in Box's PhD from the Bronx, Mr. Socrates Palmer. How are you today, sir?
I'm doing great, Pedro. Happy 4th of July, sir.
Yeah, happy 4th of July to everybody out there. Happy Independence Day, all that kind of good stuff. First thing I want to ask you about is, who is this guy, David Morrell? I mean, he's only got 5 fights with 4 knockouts. He's got a title, and he blasts this guy, Mario Cazares, who was unbeaten and can fight. I saw a couple of Cazares' fights. He could fight a little bit. He was unbeaten, and he knocked him out in 143 seconds.
You know, I'm still trying to find out who David Morrell is. I mean, he definitely found a way to make a splash. He is from Cuba.
Cuba. You know,
and I don't know if he comes from that standout. I'm assuming, rather, that he comes from that standout amateur program. He looks like $1 million as a super middleweight. You know, tremendous physique, and they say he's 23 years old.
Why did you say that? Time out. Now I know what you meant by that. Why did you say they say he's 23 years old?
Because the same Cuban way fighters are known. I had an aunt that was 36 for about 10 years.
Yeah, well, I always thought the Joel Castlemore, the 1992 Olympic gold medalist, I thought he was like in his 50s almost. Anyway, they never copped it. I remember one time I went to Mike McCallum. Mike McCallum fought in the Mike McCallum, one of the greatest fighters of all time. I think deserves to be in the top 20 of anybody's top 10. Top 20 ratings of pound for pound fighters. Anyway, that's how great he was. Unheralded. Tommy Hearns didn't want to fight him. Roberto Duran said, way, no way. Sugar Ray Leonard didn't want to mention his name. But the bottom line is Mike McCallum. I printed one day that he was 38 years old or something like that in Flash Magazine. Sock. And he's chasing me all over the MGM Grand in his Jamaican accent going, Pedro, how could you say such a thing? Anyway, he's a class. Do you think he's underpropped? I think he's way underpropped.
Mike McCallum, absolutely. Absolutely. Mike McCallum had a tremendous career. I remember as a kid, he beat down my boy, the Cobra.
Donald Curry,
in a great fight. You know, Curry was going up in weight, and McCallum, you know, stopped him. Unfortunately, he got the big star towards the end of his career when he fought. You know, I believe he fought James Toney.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, he was a little bit past over the hill. But Mike McCallum was the body snatcher, and he's going on to be a trainer. I think he's out in Vegas now, if I'm not mistaken.
That's where he's living. But that one left hook silenced Curry. And I told my stepfather, Mike, may he rest in peace, Michael Ramirez. In fact, I was down there with the entire family for that fight. It was at the indoor Caesars Palace Sports Pavilion, which has been raised. But I told my stepfather, I said, listen, he's a 2.5 to 1 underdog. I said, go out there and bet a bunch of money on Mike McCallum. He's telling me, oh, come on. And then after he scored, I think he bet like $500. So after he scores like a $1,900 payoff or something like that, he's saying it was, yeah, I knew McCallum was going to win. You know, typical stepfather.
You know, it just a really underrated career. Never stopped all his losses by decision.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just a really, really good fighter. Underrated. He lost to someone he probably shouldn't have lost to, Sambu Kalembe, I remember, right after the Donald Curry fight. Milt McCrory, that's another guy from the 80s that he took care of. Mike McCallum, the body snatcher, definitely worth a YouTube dive for the younger audience.
You know, no doubt about that. I mean, we can go through the loss to James Toney was a majority decision loss there. That was in Reno, Nevada. I was there, and that fight could have went either way, and the boxing establishment was not giving McCallum a break, no way, no how. Speaking of the boxing establishment, Manny mm-hmm. Pacquiao, we'll get to him in just a second. Gervonta Davis, a winner last week, coming from behind. I mean, Floyd and those guys were freaking out in the corner. You know what Floyd reminds me of now? Do you remember Andy Griffith, the TV show? He reminds me of Floyd the Barber. Floyd Mayweather, now he reminds me of Floyd the Barber. He was in the corner, sort of reminded me of Floyd the Barber in the corner there telling, you're losing. Bottom line is he did come up on the shy end of a few rounds early on. I'm talking about Gervonta Davis, but he roared back at the end.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know if it was – I thought the fight was pretty even, you know. Barrios had his moments, probably he probably overachieved, because I think there was a lot of fighters that, I mean, a lot of people that didn't think Berrios belonged in the same ring, and he gave a really good showing. Gervonta Davis, he's on that list of must-watch guys, you know, whenever they're on. You got to clear your calendar, because his fights, most of them end in a knockout. He doesn't have to be perfect to win, you know, because of his punching power and his hand speed. He caught Berrios with a great shot in the solar plexus that really spelled the end. And he's got that killer instinct, which you like to see in a fighter. I still don't put him ahead of Teofimo Lopez, but to me, that's the best fight in boxing that can be made. It's tremendous. You know, I would love to see that fight happen within the next year and a half while they're still both in their primes. I don't think that he's going to stay at 140, because I don't think he's a real, you know, at 140, I don't think he beats someone like Josh Taylor. I think it was too big for him. But Gervonta Davis it was a really good night. You know, the numbers haven't come out on the pay-per-view. I wonder why. Normally when they do really well, they're the first ones, you know, the promotional companies are the first ones to say how many buys they had. A real good win. A real good win for Gervonta Davis. He's now the WBA whatever champ, although he's not really a champion at 140. You know, the real deal is Josh Taylor.
Yeah, but, and you know, no offense to Mr. Barr, to his opponent, and of course trained by Virgil Hunter. They had a great game plan. They fought perfectly up until when the end came. I will say this. This is terrible, hard for me to say this. He wasn't on my radar at 140 pounds, and the guy had a WBA title, so yikes.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, and it's not his fault. I mean, you know, if they're going to give you a little trinket and PBC is going to prop you up as a champ, then, you know, what are you going to say, no? And especially just in the shadows of the great unification bout that we had between Ramirez and Taylor, you know, you don't want to crap on the fighters, because, you know, it's not their doing. You know, it's all promotional and TV, you know, and the WBA, you know, making up these bogus titles. But Berrios, he looked good, you know, and he was a 5-1 underdog, you know. And so to me, they'll probably bring him back, you know. Virgil Hunter, he did a real nice job with him. Hopefully he's able to bounce back.
Okay. Last question for the PhD before we send him off to celebrate the 4th of July with his lovely family. Ryan Garcia and the Tank. That's what Floyd Mayweather is talking about. Is Floyd on the right track there, or is this Floyd just spouting from one side of the track, or are both sides of the track talking about this?
Well, Ryan's been calling him out for about a year and a half. Then Floyd had said in the press conference that they're not going to fight anyone that's not within PBC or under Al Haymon. He said a quote, not verbatim, I don't remember, but something to the effect, we're not going to make other promoters rich, you know. Now, I don't know if that's a ploy to maybe recruit fighters once their contract is up. You know, basically he's calling his man Davis as the cash cow. But we all know that if anyone between the two has superstar potential between Garcia and Davis is Garcia. You know, that's without a doubt. I think that fight can happen, because especially we don't know how happy Ryan is with Golden Boy.
Don't take this the wrong way, but I was really happy there were no police reports after the Gervonta Davis fight.
That is definitely a win. Yes, the after party must have been very subdued.
Exactly. You know, Floyd was there monitoring everything. Anyway, Boxing's PhD, go have a great weekend with the family. We'll talk to you Saturday. Saturdays, of course, is when Boxing's PhD, Socrates Palmer, appears on Ring Talk Live Worldwide, brought to you by the World Boxing Council, WBC. Well, Fernandez didn't do so well last night. We'll talk about that after break. I'm talking about John Fernandez. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC Boxing TV.
The thing is that I'm still in his brain. I'm still in his mind. I'm the guy that he wants to get rid of.